What's your real name?
You'd never believe it in a million years. Should I tell you?
Yeah.
I'll whisper it to you, okay? My real name is Al.
What?
It is.
When did you become Weird Al?
Well, I took that on professionally, I think probably my sophomore year in college when I started doing college radio. Because everybody on the air on our campus radio station had sort of a wacky name like The Sheriff or Macho Mike and all trying to stand out. And I thought, oh, Weird Al, because I liked weird music and I played all sorts of strange things and it seemed appropriate and it just kind of stuck.
Did you seem different from other kids when you were a kid?
Yeah, I'd have to say so. I mean, you know, if you listen to my song White and Nerdy, that was sort of me. I was very, very nerdy. I was the valedictorian of my high school and a straight-A student. I graduated when I was 16. I went to high school when I was 12, therefore, so I was always a little out of sync with everybody else there. So I definitely stood out, and it was a little awkward for me socially.
About half your songs are originals. Do you write the music or the lyrics first?
Good question. Usually it's the lyrics first, although when I'm writing the lyrics, I have a pretty good idea in my mind what kind of song it's going to be. So I know I have an idea what kind of format the lyrics are going to be in. But sometimes I'll write some lyrics and then write a little music and go back and forth, but it varies a little every time.
Do you decide, like, if you want to parody a song first or if you just want to write a song about Amish people or something?
A lot of times when I do the parodies, the ideas will be based on a different kind of take on the song lyric or a pun on the title or something like that, or kind of turning the whole concept of the original song on its head. And when I'm writing an original song, it's done from scratch, so I'm not it kind of frees me up. I can write about whatever I want that way.
How do you choose the songs you parody?
Well, mostly I just go by what are the big hits and what's at the top of the charts. Although sometimes if I have a song that I really want to write about, I'll do an older song. Like when I did my Star Wars song, The Saga Begins, and this is back in 1999. But at that time, the movie had just come out, and none of the current popular songs seemed to go well with it. And I went all the way back to a song from, I think it was 1971, Don McLean's American Pie. So that was sort of a classic rock song that I thought went well with Star Wars.
Am I the fear and a good guy? Maybe Vader someday later, now he's just a small fry. And he left his home and kissed his mommy goodbye, saying soon I'm gonna be a Jedi. Soon I'm gonna be a Jedi.
Would you tell us about becoming a children's book author? What's in the work?
Well, I had a great time writing when I grew up. I was approached by an editor at HarperCollins who thought I would be good at writing children's literature, and it was something that I always was very, very interested in. I love Dr. Seuss and Sheldon Silverstein, and I thought that I would love to take a shot at it. And it turned out very well, I think, and it was a New York Times bestseller, and everybody was very excited, and I wrote my second book. It's not going to be out for a while. I probably shouldn't give you a title or any information on it because it's going to be a long time before it comes out, but it'll be out probably end of summer, early fall next year, 2013.
You have a lot of energy when you're performing your songs live. I'm just curious, what are you thinking when you're performing? Are you nervous or are you excited? Are you in the groove or how is it?
I try to stay in the groove, in the present, because I still every now and then will forget words or blank out. And that's usually if I'm trying to think, like, you know, two lines ahead, like, oh, this is coming up. Oh, I got to get ready for that. And while I'm thinking about what's happening 10 seconds from now, I forget what I'm doing, like, now. So that kind of trips me up. So I try to just kind of be in the moment and just really enjoy the audience and try to have as much fun as the audience is having.
So how did you come up with the song Everything You Know Is Wrong?
Everything You Know Is Wrong, the title is based on a piece by Firesign Theater. And it was just a song that was sort of done in the style of They Might Be Giants. Are you familiar with that group? So musically and lyrically, I wanted it to sound sort of like one of their songs. It was just kind of a little bit stream of consciousness, just kind of some very surrealistic kind of scenarios and stuff that I thought was kind of fun to sing about. It's kind of hard to say where ideas come from, but it struck me as funny at the time.
Yes, it is.
Well, thank you.
What words of wisdom do you have for kids today?
Remember to floss your teeth. Very important. Dental hygiene, very important.
When did you first start playing music?
I took 3 years of accordion lessons from age of 7 to 10. So that's really my only formal musical training. And then I just kind of learned on my own after that, and kind of learned by doing. I mean, Rick Derringer, a legendary guitar player, produced my first 6 albums, and I sort of like picked up in the studio what was needed for production. So after that, I've been producing my own albums, and I sort of learned on the job about how to be a video director. So I sort of like just being in the studio and on sets and various places like that. And if you hang around long enough, and if you're interested and you want to learn, you pick up a lot of skills, which is nice.
What kind of environment do you need to write music?
I could write pretty much anywhere, but I prefer a quiet environment. And I tend to do my best writing in the middle of the night, like 2, 3 in the morning, when the house is quiet and everybody's asleep and there's nothing good on TV and the phone's not ringing. And then my brain starts working in a completely random way. So that's usually when I'm the most creative.
Of all the different kinds of work you do, like TV and movies and songs and obviously children's books, what genre do you like least?
I don't think you might be the first person to ask me that. I don't know, because I really do enjoy it all. I mean, I've got my dream job. I love comedy. I love music. I love every aspect of what I do. And I don't think I've ever, stopped to think what I enjoy least, because I really love it all.
I was wondering what you enjoy the most.
Okay. And again, I enjoy it all, but if I had to pick, I'd say probably live performance, because that's the only time when I'm getting the immediate gratification of a live audience reacting and laughing and cheering, and that's there's no adrenaline rush like that. So that's probably my biggest thrill.
What have been some responses you've known of from the original artists of songs you parody?
All the responses I've gotten back have been very positive. I do get the permission ahead of time, so it's not like a surprise when they hear the song. But I've gotten artists that were amazed that I was able to copy their sound so closely. I've had people, Lady Gaga said that she thought it was very empowering when I did the parody. I've had several artists, like the guys in Nirvana, that said that they didn't realize they'd made it until they heard the Weird Al parody. So it's been very, very flattering and very positive.
What was it like being on 30 Rock?
That was great. I love 30 Rock. It's one of my favorite shows, and I was very flattered that Tina Fey, she wrote that episode. She apparently wrote me into the show. There was a whole B-line story plot about me parodying Jenna Maroney and kind of getting on her nerves, and got to go to New York and hang out with the 30 Rock cast and crew, and really great guys. It was just insanely fun.
Some people think you're a kid's band. Oh, I'm too old to go see Weird Al. What do you say to people when they say something like that to you?
Just say, you are dead inside, and I wash my hands of you.
He who is tired of Weird Al is tired of life.
Little ditty about Homer and Marge. Her heart was as big as his stomach was large. Oh yeah, they say love goes on long after the grilled cheese sandwich is gone.